Well, today I want to talk about, I'm in Deuteronomy, and I got several other verses here, but I'm going to be reading Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, 12 through 13. And it says this, "And it shall come to pass, because he hearken to these ordinances and keep and do them, that Jehovah thy God will keep with thee the covenant and the loving kindness which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, thy grain, thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thy cattle, the young of thy flock, in the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee." You know, this morning I was sitting out. I liked it on Sunday morning. I try to sit out on our deck and eat breakfast and just sit out there with my Bible. And just, you know, think about the things of God. And this morning I was thinking about God's favor and how good God's favor is. And I was just thinking, I could not really go day by day without God's favor. But one of the things, though, you have to do is align yourself with the word about doing what God tells you to do to obtain God's favor. You know, it says in Exodus 12:35. And it talks about God's favor here with the Israelites. It says, "And the Israelites did according to what the word of Moses, and they urgently asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and of gold and clothing." And listen to this. It says here, "Because they did what Moses told them to do," it said, "the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they gave them what they asked, and they stripped the Egyptians of those things." I remember back several years ago at work that I was wanting, they had a pilot program to work at home. And I wanted to be a part of that program. I wanted to stay at home and do my work at home. It was nice. It was a one-month program. So I asked the boss, I said, "I want to participate in this pilot program and stay at home." And he said, "We are not going to let you do that." He said, "I don't agree with it." And he said, "You're not going to do it." He flat out told me that. I thought, well, you're not my judge. I got a higher authority. And so my branch chief, who is his boss, she came to me and talked to me, and she says, "I heard you're putting in for this program." And she says, "I don't agree with it, and you're not going to do it." And I kind of looked at her and said, "Well, you're not my judge." I was saying this in my mind, not to them, okay? I was just staring at them as they were saying this to me, and I was going through this. And I said, "I have a higher authority that I can go to and obtain favor." So I proceeded with this, filled out all the paperwork, and I asked the Lord and said, "Lord, I want favor on this. And I will not take no for an answer." They told me no. Here, my supervisor and his boss told me no. And I will not take no for an answer, because I know I can come to you and I have favor. And sure enough, I got approved. My boss approved it. My branch chief approved it. And I got to stay home that month in January. And I worked at home when everybody was going out in that weather. I would call my boss. I'd be sitting in my underwear, calling my boss and saying, "I'm ready for work." But you know what? The question I have to you is, if God is interested in such a thing as that, why would he not be interested in your healing? Right? Why would he not be interested in your finances? I mean, that was such a small and trivial thing. But to me, I wanted to do it. God is wanting to please us, like Cherish was talking about. We serve a good God. He wants to bless us. He doesn't want to torture us, right? So I want you today, as you give your tithes and offerings, Peter, go ahead and start passing out the envelope. Anyone need an envelope, raise your hand and Peter will give one to you. I want you to think about that and say, "Well, God, if God would do that for him on such a trivial matter, I've got other issues here that are far more important than wanting to stay at home during the winter. I've got a financial problem here. I got a health issue here." Whatever that issue is, come to God and say, I'm not taking no for it, because here's what your word says. I have been diligent with the things of the Lord, and I am aligning myself with your word, and I know you hear my prayers. Amen? So we just want to be persistent about that. I think a lot of times, as my brother was saying, we come to the Lord and say, well, Lord, you know, it would be nice. It would be nice. No. I said, Lord, this is what I want. This is what your word says, and I'm standing on your word about it. And God will hear your prayers, and he will answer them. Right? Let's be persistent about this. Let's not just say, well, I'm going to try this and see if it works. No. We're not trying the word. We work by faith. This is all about faith, putting your faith out and doing what God wants us to do. Amen? So is everybody ready to receive today? Amen? So you can go ahead and pass that around, Peter. But I just wanted to share that with you because I think, you know, to me, to some of you, that sounds really ridiculous, but to me it was important. And really, to me, it was kind of an exercise of how to put your faith out for, if God's going to do that with that, I can put my faith out for other things. And sometimes God wants us to put our faith out and just try certain things and say, okay, I did well with that. I put my faith out and believed that, and it worked. And when these bigger issues come about, then we can put our faith out for those issues. But I think, though, we need to start doing that. I think we need to really be adamant when it comes to the things of God and not just say, well, hopefully this happens. Amen. Lord, I just pray right now over our tithes and offerings, and I just pray, Lord, that the faith, people's faith just wells up in them, that for whatever issue they have, you know, they're faithful in their giving, and they're faithful with the things of God, that they come to you, like my brother says, boldly before the throne, and just ask for the things they need in Jesus' name, and I just pray that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, I'm going to be, I think, the Lord is really speaking very strongly to me about these things, about God's people not getting what they need. And more than anything, I sense God's heart. He wants his people to get what they need. And one of the things, when we sit here, even during our giving, whatever it is, during praise and worship, is we need to have our spiritual ears on. And we need to be listening. When I'm up here praying for y'all, I'm listening. And I heard that when the Holy Ghost told me. He said, at the end of this service, they're going to get their need met because they'll find out what's keeping them from getting their need met. Because you got your ears open to hear. You got your ears open to hear. I was praying for someone here just the other day, and I distinctly heard the Holy Ghost on the inside of me said this to me. He said, they will never get victory until they learn how to surrender. They got to surrender first before they can get the victory. And you know, it's just things like that where we go and we have to understand and know what that grace looks like. We have to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. We've got to be very sensitive to him. And that's what I sense the direction right now, that the Holy Spirit is just wanting to speak to his people, wanting to draw his people into him, so that you won't go out here just in a hopeless situation anymore. Don't let me hear you say you can't do anything. Don't let me hear that anymore. There's a boldness coming up in me that I'm just, it's like, don't let me hear you say that because it's not pleasing to the Lord. I can tell it grieves his spirit. Don't tell me you don't know what to do. We know we have the answer. The greater one is on the inside of us. And he's speaking to us and talking to us. He wants to talk to us. And he'll talk to us all during worship, all during this service. Now believe, as we continue in the service, believe and draw on the Lord for answers to whatever you're doing. You're looking for a house, you're trying to sell your house, whatever you're trying to do. Listen. Come on, listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen. We spent months learning a few years ago how to be led by the Holy Ghost by Brother Kenneth Hagin. It is very possible, but you've got to train, and you got to really be diligent to really want to know, and you really got to seek after it. If you're facing something, if you're trying to sell something, if you're trying to get another job, you have to be able to listen to the Holy Ghost, and you have to understand what His voice sounds like. Amen? Hallelujah.
I want to talk today. I took a few notes and been studying this subject for a while. It's about forgiveness. And it's really at the very foundation of what we believe. Amen? And, you know, if there was somebody, if I could only minister to one person before I go home to meet the Lord, if I had the choice between somebody that was terminally ill and somebody that had an issue with forgiveness, it would be the person with forgiveness. Because I think it's that serious. And it goes to the very core of what we believe as Christians, right?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to try to accomplish three things today. We're going to try to get a better understanding of what forgiveness is, okay? We're also going to look at how it's tied to the power of God and how each one of us plays a role in forgiving. We must forgive, okay? So there are some prerequisites when I was praying about this message. It's like taking a course in school. There's prerequisites. The very first is you have to examine yourself and not somebody else. That's right up there at the top of the list. And let me give you an example. I was ministering to somebody at work who had went through a bitter divorce about 12 years ago. And this person, I said, you know what? There's a teaching on some CDs that you may want to listen to. Well, this person went through that CD series, and I said, what do you think of that? Well, you know what? My sister could really benefit from that. I'm glad I don't have a problem with this. Okay? And we need not to look at anybody else, just what's inside of us. All right? Number two, guard against placing limitations of forgiveness working in your life. What do I mean by that? Well, when I've talked to people, here's one of the number one things that I've heard. You know what? So-and-so can do that to me, but they better not do it to my kid. That's where I draw the line. Have you ever heard anybody say that? They'll go, I'm like Mama Bear, and nobody messes with Mama Bear. Be careful about doing that. All right, take all those limitations off yourself, okay? And third, and this is something that I think is very common when you minister to people with this issue, is that they have either things in the past or going on currently that as you minister to them, those things just rotate around and around in their head. And they can't hear you because the thing keeps running around in circles. You got to stop the gerbil wheel for a minute and just receive the revelation of God. Okay? So can we do those three things? Amen. Now, we all have experience with this subject, correct? There's nobody in here that doesn't know what it means to forgive somebody. All right? Yeah? Yeah? Now, here's what I used to do, and I was praying about this. I used to carry around baggage with me, all right? And I would do this. I would go, you know what? Somebody would bring up somebody's name, and I'd go, you know what? I've got them right in here. And I would open this thing up, and I would go, here's the issues that I have with this person. Right? And, you know, this, you can put all kinds of people in here. Not real people, but figuratively. Okay? And I put some people in here. It might be something as simple as the evening news. Okay? It could be, whoa, it could be Aunt Sherry. I don't know how I got in there. It could be the president. We'll give conservatives a chance here, too. It could be Rush Limbaugh, right? And since we're at the Brickyard, it could be Tony Stewart, right? But you can have all kinds of different people in that suitcase, can't you? That suitcase can be huge, all right? Now, some of those people in that suitcase, they may be there legitimately. They may not be there legitimately. Okay, and we'll talk about that a little bit. All right? So just keep that in mind. Now, there's really four elements to this. All right, first, you have to have sin. Sin. All right, and let's talk about that. Well, let me just give you the four. You have to have sin. There's a debt associated with it, a payment of the debt, and at the end, freedom. Let's talk about sin a little bit. I think I mentioned this at the financial class when we were kids. This stuff usually starts when you're small, you're a kid. And the only people that you interface with are your brothers and sisters. So when I was little, I shared a room with Pastor Mitch, and he always wore his socks weird, okay? And to illustrate this, I think I even brought some socks. All right? I have to do this. You're going to have to. He would wear socks like this. And I was neat, okay? I was neater, and it bothered me to see this. And I would vacuum my side of the room, and he would not. And then I would see these socks come across and track the dirt over, the crumbs. And you know what? We teased each other an awful lot. But the enemy used that to say, you know what? Your brother, you should have issues with him. You should have issues with your brother because he's not like you. All right? Now, I remember one time Mike was teasing me in the back seat of Mom and Dad's car. And, the enemy's going, he's bigger than you, so you need something that will help you get back at him. So I said, all right. That's a little bit of revelation there. Evil, but revelation. So I pulled out a mallet. There was a mallet on the floor of my dad's car. It was black instead of gray. And I remember I whacked him in the head. And I wasn't saved. But you know what? The thing that I remember about that, I was small, but I remember his eyes doing something weird. That's momentarily, his eyes went different ways. And I said, boy, that. Then the next thing I remember was the driver. My dad just going wild. You could kill your brother. I think that was the intent. But, a lot of us, we have looked at other people and said, I have issues with these people because they're different from us, right? We go, you know what? That person doesn't have an education. I'm smarter than them, therefore I don't like them. They may be short or whatever, and you go, I'm tall, therefore I don't like short people. But the enemy does that, and it starts when you're a kid. Now, let me give you an illustration here. On one side, you have love, okay? And another side, you have hatred. Those two are exact opposites of each other. Now, we know that love is patient, it's kind, it's not self-seeking. We know hatred is just the opposite of those things, correct? Now, I also know, too, that in order to have to forgive somebody, they have to have committed a sin against you. Now, some of these people that make their way into this luggage of mine weren't there because they sinned against me. They're there because of hatred or pride. Okay? Let me give you another illustration. Let's say, I thought I had a picture of the pastor. Let's see here. let's say the pastor says, you know what, Matt? Oh, there he is. Nobody goes unscathed. There he is. Let's say the pastor says, you know what, Matt? This financial situation that you're in, you know, you really should tithe. And I go, wow. You know, I go away from that. And I talk to you all, and I said, you know, you won't believe what the pastor told me. He has no idea what I'm going through. He tells me that I should give money to the church. Right? And then you go, ooh, boy, he really isn't very sympathetic, is he? Or, worse yet, the church goes, you know what? You're dealing with some unforgiveness. Is that really unforgiveness? Did the pastor sin against me? No, he did not. I'm not really dealing with unforgiveness as much as I am dealing with maybe pride or hatred. Over there in that hate column, remember, that may be what I'm dealing with. And maybe it's a repentance issue instead of an unforgiveness issue. And when I say unforgiveness, remember that it's easier for somebody to say you have unforgiveness because it makes you the bigger person. It puts you as the victim, not as the person that has the heart problem. Right? Does everybody get that? Now, when you minister to somebody and they say, well, I have these issues with the pastor because he's telling me to tithe. You know what? That person really needs to repent of either pride or hatred, or maybe both. Okay? Now, as a church, we don't go around and go, you know what? I just pray against this spirit of unforgiveness. No, you don't do that. That person has a heart problem. Okay? So there has to be a sin that's committed against you before you have to forgive somebody. Now, how about, and this is a very, very common thing that we hear a lot of, I just have to forgive God. God does not sin against us. Right? You know, when people say, I have to forgive God, I almost cringe when I hear that. Okay? He didn't do anything wrong. Got it? Got it. All right. So, is it possible to hate somebody for no good reason? Well, the Bible says it is. In John 15:25, Jesus, when he did all those good things, he said, they hated me without a cause. Right? So it is possible. You may have no good reason. Right? Okay, so we talked about sin. Now let's talk a little bit about debt. Now, this debt thing, people, you know, you ask people, are you a Christian? Yeah. Are you forgiven? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. People wrestle with this debt issue, and this debt issue is a big deal. When I talk to people, this is one of the number one things that you run into when you minister to people, is this people wrestling over this debt. Let's turn to Hebrews 9:8. Hebrews 9:8 through 9. Is everybody there? Says the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was the figure of the time present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Now what's that got to do with anything? A lot of times if a person wrestles with whether or not they've been forgiven, they have a guilty conscience. Now, what does that guilty conscience do? It keeps you from coming boldly to the throne of grace to get help in the time of need. You will have problems when you go, you know what, the pastor comes up and goes, will you pray for so-and-so? Well, I don't know if God hears my prayer. He might hear somebody else's prayer because, you know what? I don't have a clear conscience. You are wrestling with debt. Do you get that? So a guilty conscience is one of the keys that you have not totally received the forgiveness of God, that you're still wrestling with maybe your past or who you are as an individual in Christ. Okay? You also lack confidence in your ministry. When the pastor goes, you know what, you should go out and witness people. Or you should go out and do this for God. You know what? A lack of confidence in that area a lot of times is associated with who you are. Now, if I borrowed a dollar from Pastor David, okay, I go, you know what? He's a pretty good guy. He'll probably just forgive me of my debt. Pastor David, he's shaking his head no. Well, we're going to pretend, okay? Now, how I perceive him dictates whether or not I will ask. Now, if I've borrowed from him $10,000, I go, he may come after me with that gun, okay? That's what people do with God. The way you perceive your creditor has a lot to do with what you ask your creditor for. If you're believing for an emergency fund, if you're believing for a new church, if you're believing to get healed, new job, delivered from depression, if you have a guilty conscience because you perceive your creditor, you're not worthy enough to be forgiven of that debt, you won't have confidence when you ask. Amen? Okay. Now, let's turn to Hebrews 2:14. So we know that people who wrestle with debt have a guilty conscience. Hebrews 2:14 says, 2:14-15. For so much, then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Here's something else. When a person doesn't receive the forgiveness of God, they open themselves up to a lifetime of bondage. And that fear of death is not just, well, I'm afraid to die. It opens that person up to a whole host of different things that they have trouble overcoming. Okay? Now, one of the things this does, when you fear death, you don't have peace. You're afraid of things like cancer. Right? Now, when a person doesn't have peace, what I have seen is that person may turn toward an addiction, because they're trying to fill something in here that they don't have. Okay? You know, I talked to a guy. He's in his 60s. He goes, I haven't slept through the night in I don't know how many years. He goes, I get up at night and look outside because I think somebody's breaking into my house. Is that peace? No. Now, I'm telling you, this fear of death... People, and I'm not, you know, if you take vitamins and eat health food, that's fine. But I'm telling you, you can get to a point where you become possessed with this health food thing, because you're so afraid of getting sick. It can become a bondage to you. You have to weigh that. You have to weigh that. Are you afraid of dying? You know, another thing that that I've heard is that people will go, you know, I realize it's God's will to heal, and they kind of get that up here, okay? But then when it comes to praying or believing for healing or praying for somebody who need healing, they kind of waver. Now, when Jesus went up to people, he did not say, you know that debt you owe me, I think you have to pay a little longer. Now, several times in the New Testament, it says Jesus healed them all. When he met somebody, this is important, he said, "You're whole." Okay? He didn't look at the person and go, "You know what? You need to go back in the oven of torture or despair a little bit longer because you need to pay a little longer." Now, when you minister to somebody, you don't look at that person and go, "Ooh, I think you really brought this on yourself. I don't think I can help you." Right? Okay, and we'll talk about that a little bit more because that's where the power of God comes in at. Now, payment of the debt. 1 John 1:9 says, "If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 8:12 said, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities. I will remember no more." Correct?
Correct.
Now, he also says in 1 Corinthians 7:23, he says, "You've been bought with a price. Don't be servants of men." Now, when God purchased you, let's say you go out and you buy an iPod. Now, you know, the kids may go out and buy an iPod. They don't put it on the shelf and they go, "Well, I don't know what it's supposed to do." That iPod doesn't behave like a skillet. It behaves like an iPod. When Christ purchased you, he expects you to behave like him. Amen?
Amen.
All right? Now, if you have trouble in this area receiving this payment, one of the best things you can do is get these verses like that and meditate on those verses. It's that kind of truth that makes you free. Okay? And you start going, "Lord, I thank you that I'm forgiven. I thank you that I have been made perfect even as you are perfect." Right? Amen. Now, let me talk a little bit about freedom. And this is really the part that I think is where we sometimes miss it. To forgive means to free fully. It means to pardon. And it means to loose. It means deliverance. Set at liberty. It restores somebody to a pre-debt condition. Basically, it puts you back in the Garden of Eden. Okay? Now, I want you to pay particular attention to loose and deliverance. Turn to Luke 4:18. Now, Luke 4:18 is something that we've talked about before. And when Jesus is Lord of your life, this is basically what you do too. Right? If he's in control, why wouldn't he do that? That's pretty simple to understand. So let's read it. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance." There's that word. That word deliverance means to forgive. Okay? "To the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." All right? That liberty also means forgive. Okay? Now, what's this got to do with the power of God? Let's turn to Luke 13:10. Now, we all know this parable, or this part in the Bible, 13:11 through 13. It says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could not lift herself up. And Jesus saw her, and he called unto her and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Now, Jesus had compassion on that woman. But that word loosed there means forgave. Okay? Now, when Jesus went around healing people, in essentially what he's doing, he's going, you're loosed, meaning you're forgiven. Now, when the church uses loose today, it's not necessarily in this context. Okay, there's a lot of teachings on binding and loosing things, but it's not necessarily used in that context. Essentially, what those disciples in Christ did when they came up to a sick person is they go, you are free, meaning the results of that sickness, if it's caused by sin, you are free from that. That's extremely important. Because basically then you're saying, I don't care what this person's done to receive the grace of God. They are free from that. They no longer have to pay the penalty or the price of this sin. They are free from that. Now let's look at James 5:14. Are we clear on that? Amen? We all know this verse. Somebody read James 5:14. Pastor, will you go ahead and read that?
Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Go ahead and read 15.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him.
Right there is where the tie-in comes with that Luke 13. The prayer of faith simply says, so-and-so, you are loosed from that sickness. You are whole from that sickness. Did you get that? That is the prayer of faith. In effect, you are saying the same thing Christ said. You no longer have to pay the price for a fallen world. You are free from that sickness. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's good news. That is good news. But one of the things, a little clarity here, in order to get that to work, you have to have faith in that. You have to understand what it is that you're doing. It's the very same thing that Christ did when he met somebody. Now it says, if they've committed sin, that sickness may or may not be caused as a result of sin, but if it is, guess what? He is saying, you are free from that. Okay, now when you minister to somebody that's sick, you can't go, oh my goodness, oh, that person really did it to themselves. Glad I'm not in their position. Look, if you do that, if you measure that out to that person that way, it's measured back to you the same way. This is double whammy here. That person's not getting help, and guess what? When you need help, it's measured back to you. The amount of grace that you're going, you know what? Freely I have received, but freely I do not want to give. You cannot do that. So when you meet a person that needs help, you go, hey, I'm 100% in this thing. I have been forgiven. Guess what? You're forgiven. You're free from that sickness. Amen? Amen. Now, we know that the Bible says if we don't forgive, and I'll wrap this up here, if we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. It says the Father in heaven will not forgive us. We all know that, right? We also know, I think in Ephesians where it says, you know what? The same type of forgiveness that was shown toward you through Christ, you have to show that to other people. Correct? We know that there's a penalty if we do not forgive people. We are cut off from God if we do not do that. Amen? Now let's turn to a couple examples in Luke 23:34. Now these two verses, or this verse and another verse that I'm going to give you, this is our target. This is who we're supposed to be like and what we're supposed to do. These are the people that overcome. When we sing that song, I've overcome, you've overcome when you can actually do these things. Luke 23:34 said, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do, and they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, you need to get a revelation of this. He is God, and they just killed all the prophets that he ever sent. And they're killing him, and he's going, forgive these people. Now, that same character is in each one of us. Now, when we have issues with over socks, we've got problems. Somebody told me this morning, road rage, right? We've got problems. Okay? Now let's go to Acts 7:59. And it says in Acts 7:59, this is Stephen. Now Paul was there, he was hunting down the church, and Stephen was holding his clothes, okay, his coat. And it says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. And they sent Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, I don't think he did this with a loud voice because he's in pain. I think he understood the importance of what he was doing. You got to remember, now, if Jesus, when he was on the cross and he said, Father, don't forgive these people, I don't think they would have been forgiven. If Stephen said, Lord, don't forgive these people, I don't think they would have been forgiven. Now, I do believe that when Stephen said that, and the Holy Spirit's looking at Paul, he knows that that man's going to write two-thirds of the New Testament. When Christ commissioned those guys, he said in John 20, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted, and whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. When Stephen did that, there was a purpose there in Paul's life. Now, when you don't forgive somebody, not only do you hurt yourself, but you stand and you impede the progress of somebody else. The weight of that is great. Right? If you're Stephen and you want to stand in front of Paul's ministry and go, nope, cancel that guy out, I wouldn't want to be that guy. Correct? Okay. You know, this kind of forgiveness, these two examples here are what we are supposed to do. That is overcoming the world. Okay? Now, if we are not doing that, then Jesus is not Lord of your life. Because if he is Lord of your life, you demonstrate his very nature and character. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but that is exactly what I want to do. Amen? I can tell you this. There would be fewer church splits, fewer problems in the church if everybody behaved that way. Amen? This world would be a totally different world if we behaved that way. And God said, they will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. This stuff of not forgiving people, hating people, getting offended, having pride has to go. It absolutely has to go. Now, let me ask you a question. This luggage really represents my heart, okay? And why don't we go ahead and bow our heads? The pastor said, you're going to get your answer to what you need today. Let me ask you a question. You look at those two examples and you say, Lord, am I there? Do I have that kind of love? Have I made you Lord of my life to the extent that I can demonstrate that kind of compassion and forgiveness to other people? If you have a desire to say, you know what, that is my desire, raise your hand. Everyone should have that kind of desire. Now let me ask you a question. Let's say that you have issues in your luggage, in your heart with other people. All right? And you go, you know what? I need to repent of that. I have hatred, or I haven't forgiven people. Raise your hand if you go, you know what? I need to repent of that. See those hands? See those hands. You know what? God, in I think Romans 5, it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by His Holy Spirit. We can't get there except through Him. Amen? So why don't we just spend a minute or two? Lord, we just humble ourselves before You. We ask that You forgive us of any hatred, any pride. Father, we forgive because You've forgiven us. Lord God, and we are overcomers. To the extent You forgave those people when You hung on the cross, we let that be Lord of our life. Hallelujah. And Lord, we know that as we measure that back out to people, it's measured back out to us. We thank You for Your divine grace, Your providence in our lives, Father. We thank You for Your mercy and Your compassion toward each one of us, Lord. We walk in that. We walk in Your love today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, did you get your answer why things aren't working? Or why things may not be working? Sense a lot of conviction in here. So just let the Holy Ghost take that message and work it in your heart. And, you know, it's a whole lot easier coming boldly before the throne of grace when we don't harbor anything against anyone. And you come, like my brother was saying, with a guilty conscience. You can't go boldly with a guilty conscience. So the water, or the Word, took and washed. It washed us today. Did it not? Amen. Amen.